Move the next case of the morning is United States versus Joni Wiggins. Again, we have Mr. McGowan.
Good morning again. May it please the court again, counsel. I am Andy McGowan. I'm representing the appellant, Ms. Joni Wiggins, in this case. There's essentially three issues. One's a Booker-Paladino remand issue. I don't intend to address that. There are two substantive issues. One is the allocation of the burden of proof.
But wait a minute, Mr. McGowan. It seems to me, to the extent this appeal is about sentencing, it's about the burden of proof on the obstruction of justice, it does have an effect back into Paladino, because if we were to think that an error had been made, if we were to agree with you that the burden of proof was misallocated and that the whole obstruction of justice thing had to be redone, it's not a limited remand anymore on sentencing, is it? It's a full remand.
Right, and that's one of the reasons.
It's not like partly Paladino remand, partly full remand. Wouldn't you just remand on the sentence?
Right, and that's why I wasn't going to address the Paladino remand.
Okay, I just, in the sense of not addressing, in that you don't think it matters,
I don't think it matters.
You're not contesting it.
I'm not contesting it. I believe the government's conceded that.
Well, the government's conceded that you go that far, but I'm saying if you go further, you actually are saying Paladino is not enough, aren't you?
Right, but and the government's conceded one of the points that.
Right.
And in fact, I was going to simply address that the government has conceded that a full remand is appropriate because of the burden of proof problem.
Mm-hmm.
On the obstruction of justice issue.
Right.
However, the government is still arguing about the gun bump. But my point would be, if this court agrees with both parties that this case should be remanded fully, so that the court can address the burden of proof matter, that this court wouldn't have to actually rule on the third matter. And furthermore...
Well, but we frequently, though, do limited remands. I mean, we might say to the judge, you know, we have no problem with your computation, now, of course, all in an advisory light, but with your computation of the offense level, and we have no problem with this and that and the other thing, you know, grouping or minor role or whatever, you know, all the zillions of sentencing issues that come up. I'm not saying they're all here in this case, but just hypothetically, but we could say, but the one thing we don't like is what you did with obstruction of justice because you misallocated the burden of proof. So in that sense, we could, for judicial efficiency reasons, reach the firearms point and either leave it on the table or take it off. And then, of course, when the judge goes through the resentencing process, no matter what the findings of fact are on obstruction, then it's done in a manner consistently with the Booker remedial opinion. So it seems to me the firearms thing is still here.
Fair enough. However, I would point out that we're not arguing that there isn't sufficient evidence ultimately to establish these if the court uses the proper standard of review. And so in that sense, it wouldn't require a full, necessarily a full consideration by the court of a remand based on this court's finding that the district court's.
Can you talk louder?
I'm sorry.
Could you talk?
Certainly, I'm sorry.
But, you know, on the firearm thing, you know, the government is not, as you pointed out, conceding that there was anything wrong with the allocation of the burden of proof there, because they have to establish first that the defendant possesses the weapon, and then it's up to the defendant to show the clearly improbable connection point. Isn't that what the district judge did?
You know, the district court was not clear, and that's the real problem. That's why we're here. The district court, the only statement that the district court made that affected the determination was that he said, in talking about all three adjustments, including acceptance of responsibility, which is the defendant's burden,
mm-hmm.
he just made a broad statement that it's your burden to prove all these, isn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong. Nobody spoke up, including the government, and that's why we're here. So
there's
I think
question about guns and one even being proximate to the drugs, right?
There were seven guns in the house.
Yeah, but I mean, that's... Then you got to start, okay, there's seven guns in the house. One belonged to my brother, one I... But that's after you get to the premise that there are guns in the approximate... in the location, and one loaded, I guess, proximate to the drug.
Right, I understand that there were...
That doesn't take much proof. That's acknowledged. Now it's a question of why are they there.
I understand that. There is a lot of proof in this case about the guns in particular, but that doesn't mean that the gut judge can actually just rule misapplying the burden. And in the gun case, it's kind of, the burden's kind of complicated because it starts out all that the government has to prove is that the defendant possessed the guns. And then it's the defendant's burden to prove that they were that there's no reason, essentially, that they were associated with the drugs. And so it's a slightly different...
Is there
a very different
of possession?
No, this was a drug case. And there was a gun bump.
Is there a question of possession of the guns?
Yes, the district court determined against Ms. Wiggins.
I know, but...
He said, is there?
What's the question?
Ms. Wiggins did not admit to the guns. She said that they were somebody else's. So there was a question.
Well, you can possess somebody else's gun.
You can. And that's maybe what the district court...
I guess maybe I'm missing it. It just seems to me that it's her only defense is she's got to show somehow disassociation with her possession. I don't know what they're all there for, hunting or something. Right? I don't know what the defense is. But.
Exactly. And the only point here is that the district court may have misapplied the burden of proof to determine whether she possessed it.
Okay.
The rest
may
of
have or did.
It appears from the record that the court did, although the sentencing hearing was over two different days. The confusing statements was on the first day.
And then did he clear it up to your satisfaction?
He did not. The district court simply
ruled. Why didn't he clear it up? What did he say that didn't clear it up?
He simply ruled.
What did he continue to repeat that makes it unclear?
Well, he didn't continue to repeat anything. He just simply said at the second sentencing, he found that the obstruction applied. He found that the gun bump applied. And that's all he said. That's why I say it's confusing, and that's the distinction between the Brennan case from the Third Circuit and this case. And that's one of the reasons the government has conceded the obstruction of justice enhancement, because it does appear that the district court used the wrong burden of proof, saying it's your burden, defendant, to show that she was not using these letters to obstruct justice. And our argument about the gun is very, very similar. The district court didn't clear it up. He seemed to rely on, in part, placing the burden on the defendant to show that she didn't possess the gun in the first place. So the arguments that we're making are very similar.
Well, here's the Brennan case. What do you think of this? The Third Circuit addressed a similar situation in which a district court erred by requiring a defendant to disprove an enhancement for obstruction of justice. Went on to say, Brennan, however, held that the error was harmless because the district court later corrected its error when it found that the government clearly and convincingly established that the enhancement was warranted. Now, do you figure that that your facts are different than the Brennan law?
They are, and they're simply different because the district court didn't clear it up.
Well, this doesn't say he cleared it up. It just says he made this specific finding, which means he did clear it up in his own mind when it was clearly and convincingly.
Well, the argument is that he on the record, stated the incorrect burden.
That was done here.
And then on the record didn't clear it up. In the Brennan case, it appears as though he cleared it up.
Where does it appear in the Brennan case that he cleared it up? What else did he say other than clearly and convincingly?
Well, in this case...
I don't know is your answer.
In this case, the judge didn't say clearly and convincingly, I must say, as a distinction. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Not much time.
Mr. Moore?
Thank you. If it pleases the court, or the counsel, I just want to clear something up right off the bat here, and that is that in the a second supplemental petition, second supplemental brief of the plaintiff appellee. We have indicated that the government now concedes, this is on page 2, that in light of Booker, the defendant can show that the district court committed clear and obvious error in imposing a sentence with regard to the gun enhancement and the obstruction of justice.
As to what?
As to the gun enhancement and the obstruction of justice.
You say that it is?
Yes.
All right.
We can see that.
All right. What do you say about the Brennan case, or didn't you?
I believe that the case should be remanded for
research. I didn't ask you that. I said, what about the Brennan law?
I think that the record in this case does not indicate, as it did in the Brennan case, that there was clear and convincing evidence.
Right. Okay.
And given the brevity of life, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but having conceded the...
Okay. So we're going to remand then, huh?
Thank you.
As long as you confess it, that's fine.
We do.
All right.
You want to add anything?
I don't.
Okay.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah. This case will be taken under advisement then.